Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to the latest episode of Biblioscapes in Discussion. Today, I've got the great pleasure of being joined by photographer Dave Fieldhouse. Good evening, Dave.
Hiya, how you doing?
Not bad yourself.
No, I'm all right, thank you. I'm good.
Thank you very much for your time this evening. We've been trying to nail down a date for some time, but I've managed to finally convince you that you should come on and discuss your frankly wonderful book Tokyo, which I know you released end of last year, I think it was, or earlier this year. But before we get into talking about that, Dave, it would be great if you could give us a bit of an introduction and background to your photographic journey.
Okay, well, I took up photography about 12 years ago now, and basically because I wanted a hobby that got me outside, and I was rubbish at golf. And I picked up a camera magazine and thought, wow, that looks really interesting. That looks good. No idea what an f-stop was or shutter speed, meant nothing to me. ISO was a foreign language. But I spent a number of years trying to get my head around using a camera, mainly in landscape photography. In fact, the first 5 years of my, I'd call it a photographic journey, career, whatever, I avoided people in my photographs completely. Would wait a long time for people to walk out of my shot. And then obviously more recently, I've embraced humanity and I've started to shoot people, which is, I find quite fun. And that generally is because I spend a lot of my time in cities and I don't have a lot of free time to get out to the hills and the mountains, which I used to love shooting. I used to shoot a lot of the bigger grand vistas, so to speak.
Yeah.
But going to Snowdonia Lake District, Scotland, you know, you're talking investment of time, and I just didn't have it. So not being able to shoot made me frustrated. And I think it was one of those light bulb moments where I was moaning about what I hadn't got rather than embracing what I had got. And that was London, Birmingham, cities that I was in a lot of the time. So I started to shoot street, really from scratch. And very, very badly for a number of years. But I was enjoying it. And I think that's, for me, I'm not in the photography game to make money or become famous. It's something I really enjoy. And if anybody else likes what I'm doing, then that's a bonus. So all these years on, I became more and more, I'm still interested in shooting landscapes. It's just when the time presents, I will shoot landscapes. Because I don't get to do it very often and I don't live in a national park. So I know everyone says you should always shoot local.
Yep.
Most of the people that say that live in a national park. but I tend to drive to places and then I'm influenced by photographs I've already seen. I find myself shooting compositions I've seen quite a lot already, which nothing wrong with that. But it for me, it's then I'm showing that I can use the camera rather than I'm thinking about the composition because I'm already influenced. And even when you try and avoid putting your tripod legs where others have been, you find yourself in those same three holes in the ground.
Yeah.
So the street photography for me was, I never know what I'm going to get.
Yeah, absolutely. I've followed your work and known you for a number of years, Dave. And as you say, landscape for a number of years and then the street photography crept in more and more and more, Birmingham and London in particular. And it's been fantastic just to see you've really, for me, developed a real style and a real aesthetic amongst your work, quite recognisable, some of your shots. And it's great because it just shows you how one can adapt and learn. As you say, it's like when you've been shooting landscapes to then all of a sudden go and shoot people, it takes time to kind of get the eye, get the compositions that work well for you. But quite clearly you've done it. And obviously I know last year you were managed to spend some time in Japan, and Tokyo in particular, and you kind of put together a fantastic body of work which you brought out as the zine book last year. What appealed to you about Tokyo? For many people who listen, I'm a massive fan of Japan. I think it's fascinating. I can understand why Tokyo would appeal from a street photographer's perspective, but I'm really keen to hear how it appeals from your perspective.
Well, straight away for me, you know my work. I shoot most of the time at night.
Yep.
I can't remember when I wasn't when I was shooting at ISO, triple digits. Everything is high ISO that I shoot. It's all handheld. And Tokyo is a nighttime city. New York also is a nighttime city, but Tokyo is a hell of a lot safer, so I'm told. And on that point, I never at once felt under threat or in danger or in any peril in Tokyo. And I was on my own a lot of the time. Alleyways, ne never felt like I was putting myself at risk. But Tokyo is just such a vibrant, I mean, I'm influenced a little bit by the Blade Runner style of things, the cyberpunk. We'll talk about influences later on, I know, but I've got books that blew me away about Tokyo, and I didn't believe it was true. I thought there's a load of editing going on there. Can't really be like that. And it nearly is. I try and be as honest as I can with my editing. I like it to look realistic, but yeah, I mean, I could have pushed it and gone full neon, cyans, purple, magentas, but no, I didn't need to. There was enough color, there's enough life. So Tokyo was up there. It was my 50th birthday, 50 times around the sun last year, so it's a bit of a treat for myself. But yeah, Tokyo was up there. There was Lisbon or Porto, they were up there. That's places in America. I think I'd rather shoot Chicago than New York, just to be a bit different. But yeah, there's so many places that are interesting.
And how did your approach change from shooting somewhere like Birmingham or London to shooting Tokyo? As you say, I've been in Tokyo myself, and you do feel incredibly safe, safer than walking some streets in the UK. And you don't speak a word of English, and you can't communicate with anyone. But it's just a very different feel as a city, I think, compared to a lot of other world cities.
Yeah, I mean, London is easier to shoot than Birmingham because I walk around with a camera, you stand out more in Birmingham than you do in London just because there's a lot more tourists there. Tokyo, very similar. I think Tokyo, the general public are pretty used to random photographers taking photos. I only usually, if I go out at night, I'll take one camera with a lens and a few spare batteries and a lens cloth.
And that's it.
I won't carry multiple lenses, and again, the nice thing about Tokyo was I was there for a week, so I went out one night with a 50mm lens, one night with an 80mm lens, an 85mm lens, and another night with a wider lens. So I was able to do the full, go to the same places. So there's one certain alleyway where you can watch people eating, drinking, cooking. I was fascinated by all the. I mean, it's a four-dimensional overload, but I went down there several nights with different lenses and got different looks from the images. So that's.
And did you feel there was a buzz, or did you feel a buzz and energy when you were photographing such a new location, particularly one so far away that you've kind of got one shot to do? It's not maybe somewhere you're going to return to very
Yeah,
quickly.
that pressure. Yeah, this has cost me a fortune. I've got to make it count. I did feel that. I try not to set myself a target. So if I head out, I try not to say I'm gonna come back with four really good shots. But so I did try to enjoy the experience, but I mean I stopped counting the number of steps after the second night because it was ridiculous. It was like 15 miles a night.
But as you say, you're going over there potentially as a one-off, so you've got to make it count. And as you say, you're seeing sites and locations that you're maybe not likely to see anywhere else in the world. And the amount of areas and the amount of people in Tokyo, even compared to London, is just so vast. And I
Oh,
know what.
exactly. Yeah, I mean, I said I'd go once. It was a once in a lifetime trip, and I was already trying to work out how I was going to broach the subject of going back when I was on the plane coming into land at Heathrow, because it didn't rain, and that was the one thing I wanted. I wanted rain because all those neon signs looked fantastic, but reflected neon signs would look even better. So we went in monsoon season. It rained. We landed in a monsoon. And by the time we went out, it stopped raining and never rained again.
That's it just shows you us photographers are never happy with the weather conditions. You go in search of rain and you don't get it. You go praying for rain and you can guarantee you'll get like monsoon for that period of time. And when it came to I suppose processing the work, what was your sort of approach? Because it really presents just beautifully as a lovely body of work that really works for me so aesthetically well. And I can kind of feel myself submerged in the streets and in the alleyways of Tokyo.
See, I was dreading that kind of question because I just edit the way I like.
That's
There
fine.
is no, there's no formula.
Yeah.
It's like people ask me, can you
Teach show.
eloquently put together why you took this photo? And because I like the look of it, and
Yeah.
that is generally it. And I was you there once. I was shooting. It was almost like scattergun approach at one point because everywhere I looked, there was a picture.
Yeah.
I mean, and I do like, I forget the photographer that said about, there's a saying that if you want to shoot more interesting photographs, stand in front of something more interesting. But I think it's more of a challenge to try and make something very, very dull interesting. So I think there's one photo in the book that I particularly like. I'm not a big fan of social media, but it bombed on social media. And I knew it would. And
It's
it's a
always it's
picture.
always the case. It's always the case. Your favorite shots bomb, and the
Yeah.
ones that you post up just to fill space, you think the average, are the ones that get the most response.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And it's sort of two-thirds of the way back, and it's a picture of a guy picking up a rubbish bag. Well, a number of rubbish bags. I didn't put page
Oh
number.
yes, yep. Oh
You
yeah,
got it.
fantastic. Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. You see, now
Yeah.
it was stuff like that that was catching my eye, and I thought if I can make a guy collecting rubbish an attractive or an interesting photograph, then that's a challenge.
Yeah, just really just interesting, and it kind of takes me back, and it's lovely to see the work, because I've seen so much of your London night photo, your London night shots as well, which pick up a lot of the colors, a lot of the trains and tubes as well, which works really nicely. But I think that the narrow alleyways and the street vendors and street foods in Tokyo is just it's just something totally different that I don't think really exists. Certainly not in Europe from my perspective.
No, I think you're right. I think it's a very Asian
Yeah.
thing. Yeah, and it just lends itself to these candid street portraits, I guess.
Yeah.
So
And did you have any problems or any objections from anyone from taking the photographs, or are you generally not put you're not going to be one of these photographers who puts the camera 2 inches in front of someone's face and just presses click 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 and hopes for the
yeah,
best?
I try not to. I'm a shy individual anyway, so I try not to goad anybody with that kind of tactic. I'm trying to a lot of the time shoot with the camera away from my face, which I
Yeah.
find I mean something I've learned seems to diffuse that kind of situation.
Yeah.
If people can see your face, they don't get quite so. I mean, I wouldn't want someone pointing a camera at me
Abs
from
yeah.
3 foot away,
No.
but I mean, I'm close, but I went on a, when I started to take street photography more seriously, I went on a workshop. I mean, I always say go on workshops with people whose work you really admire
Absolutely.
and learn, steal their ideas, steal their techniques. And yeah. And there was a guy, and I'll talk about his book later, called Joshua Jackson.
Right.
And he was doing a nighttime street photography workshop. So at that point, I'd not done any nighttime work. And he'd got a big, I think it was a Pentax with a huge lens. And he walked through Chinatown Street, main busy street in Chinatown. And he walked through a crowd with this camera right in front of him, great big camera. Nobody batted an eyelid. And he just did like a figure of eight through the crowd, came back and said, right, that's the kind of shot I'm looking for. And jaws just hit the ground because there was, and he's just hiding in plain sight. And
Yeah.
his tactic was relax the shoulders, smile. Don't look like you're up to something you shouldn't be up to, because
Yeah.
just you're not. If you start to look shifty and hide in alleyways or behind, I don't know, post boxes and jump out and take photos, you're going to draw attention to yourself. It was all very much about being relaxed. And I try and do positive street photography.
Yeah, okay.
So if I was ever challenged and I could speak the language, which would have been a problem in Tokyo, I could at least explain why I took the photo.
Yeah.
And it's always light, surroundings or setting, clothing, or there's an atmosphere, and it's always a positive. So I could at least explain.
Yeah. And when you arrived, I suppose when you kind of arrived in Tokyo, did you have any preconceptions about what you were looking to shoot, what subject matters you were looking to shoot? I know obviously you said you were able to go back to some of the same locations night after night, so you maybe begin to develop a bit of an understanding, but how did you kind of approach it? Obviously London, Birmingham, more familiar areas that you've maybe walked around before, but Tokyo, you're kind of on a 6 day window sort of thing to make the most of it.
Yeah, well, same with London, really. I use Google Street Map a hell of a lot. So if I'm going to a meeting in London, in a part of London I don't know, the night before or a couple of nights before, I'll drop the pin and I'll go on a walk around London, from whilst I'm having a cup of tea or watching telly, looking for something interesting. And I did that with Tokyo. I had four shots that I'd seen previously that I thought, right, I'm going to get those four shots. Then at least I've got something. And then everything else will be original. And one of the shots was of a subway entrance, and it was boarded up when I got there, so that didn't work. Another shot was from a bridge that is no longer there, and two of the other shots I did get. But I mean, I'm not. It's not a problem because that was just to try and get what I call bankers rig, I suppose. Just to relax. Once you've got a nice shot in the camera, you relax a bit, don't you? And the pressure starts to.
As you see, you to totally agree. The pressure kind of is a release of pressure once you've got a shot, because you think, right, that's fine. I've got something. And I think also you then begin to get familiar with the surroundings, regardless of whether it's landscape, urban scape, street photography, whatever. You begin more relaxed, and I think that's when it becomes more natural. And it flows easier.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. You start to enjoy it.
That's it. And I think when you're enjoying it, that's probably when you produce your best work. As you say, we're not in the business of doing it. We do it because it's a hobby. We do it because it's different from everything else that we do. And if you get enjoyment from it, then that fundamentally, that's the key. And if you get images that, as long as you're happy with them, as a photographer, that's the main thing. If other people enjoy them, it's a bonus. But you do it for yourself, really. That's kind of the view. And if you can be out and about in a wonderful location, somewhere you've always wanted to go and visit, it's wonderful.
It's a fascinating place.
And did you what else? You did 15 miles of walking in the evenings. Did you do 15 miles of walking during the day, scouting out new locations or resting?
It was very humid and hot, so it really was. Get to bed around about 1 o'clock. Both of us, I went with another photographer, Dan Martin, and we were just jet lagged. We didn't sleep much, just trying to get over the jet lag and going out at night, obviously. So it took its toll, and the heat. So we weren't really going out until 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, trying to stay in the hotel in the cool until about that time. So I have very few daytime shots.
So it was a real nighttime street photography trip, 6 days of which it's great because it allows you to immerse yourself in the subject matter that you're there to produce. And you must have come back with hundreds upon hundreds of images.
Got hundreds and hundreds of rubbish images, and then a few that
That's
I liked. But
always the case, though.
I did 6 days in Tokyo, and I think last year I probably did 10 days photography in total. So it really was the first 2 days were getting over all the mistakes that I've, back to square one and schoolboy errors. But and this year's no different.
And when it came, when at what point did you decide then you wanted to make a published book of the work?
Right, the original, I got to about 40 images that I quite liked, and I thought I really want to present these, and printing them off individually. I haven't got a printer anymore, but sending off to get them printed and then showing people that were interested in seeing was going to become quite time consuming. So I thought, right, I'll do a very small run of a zine with 40, I think it was about 50 images in the book. And I had, I think it was 15 printed. Not expecting anything because I hadn't used the printers that I was using, so I didn't know what the quality was going to be like. They're very dark images, and printing dark images doesn't always work. So I thought when they come back, I'm probably going to have to re-edit them brighter. But I just got 15 made up, and there was a few spare. And I just offered them out on social media and said, I've got some spare. If anybody wants one, let me know. And I covered my costs, put a little bit on to pay for the ones that I'd given to family and friends. And they went really quickly, to the point of then I had to reorder, and then I had to reorder again. And in the end, I think it was 108 copies we sold.
Brilliant.
So there was no, when I went to Japan, that was definitely not the intended result. But yeah, I'm glad I did it. It was a really enjoyable process. Receiving the book the first time, I was really pleased when I got the book back. I was really pleased with the quality of the images and the feel. I mean, I played around with paper types and thicknesses, and you pay more obviously for the thicker quality paper. But I just felt it worked for me. I'm still quite proud of it now, although I'm still editing images from that trip that I think I wish I'd have put that one in, but why didn't I see that one when I was putting the book together? But yeah, and I would say the feedback I received from the photographic community was also very good. It's positive. I think a lot of people enjoy the book.
I think the print quality of it is really superb. I think the images and the colors in particular have come out really well. As you say, it's a particularly dark subject just because of the nature of when you're shooting a lot of the work or all of the work. But yeah, I think it's the neon colors in particular have turned out really well, and I particularly love the front cover. I think it just works.
It was such an average shot, though. It was not one of the ones I was itching to process
At all.
on the way back. So I'd got images in my head. I was thinking, I can't wait to process that shot. I can't wait to process that shot. And then I did that one, and that's probably when I thought, there's a zine here that would work as a cover for a zine. And that's probably the photo I processed, and it became an idea. I mean, I don't think there's any standout singular shot from the trip, but you need a little bit of magic sometimes for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it's necessarily always about having the wow images. For
Yeah.
me, the book it's all about, it's presenting the body of work, the whole collection of images from your trip.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah. So the fact that there was no standout wow framed picture in my lounge, the book is, it's a very good memory of what I did. I mean, all the shots in the book are at night. I purposely wanted it to be Tokyo at night. And don't worry, there isn't a Tokyo at day book, because that would be a very thin Steve.
Pamphlet.
Yeah. Yeah, cheap, but yeah, not happening. But no, I really wanted to get that put together, and yeah, I'm pleased with it.
Yeah,
So
and how long and how challenging, how enjoyable did you find the sequencing process? Because it's always interesting when people then try to begin to sequence their own work and how you get images to work together. I like the different layouts you've gone for, kept it nice and simple. But how was the whole sequencing challenge, and how did you kind of approach it as well in terms of which images you wanted and which images you were going to leave behind?
I mean, I've obviously gone with themes, colors. I didn't want to. I've taken since I've switched from Fuji to Sony, I've seemed to take a lot more landscape orientation images. With the Fuji, I never seemed to take any, and with the Sony, I've started to take more. But I didn't want to split them over a double page, because the interesting bit's always in the crease.
Absolutely.
So that helped with the layouts, and then it was a case of making sure that I got the right number of images in the right aspect. And it literally was subject matter, coloring. I mean, like I say, it's like they're explaining your what you process your images the way you process your images. It's
You
just
like
the way
them.
I like it.
Yeah, that's it. But I think there's such a natural flow to them as well. It's tonally wise, as you say, the colors, the two subway shots, I think, yeah, just work so nicely together. And then there's also even the 3-page spread where you've got all the different outsides of the street vendors. But again, the colors just work
Yeah, I mean, it's
so
like
aesthetically nice. Yeah, again, the wee lanterns.
the lanterns. Yeah, there's a
It's
yeah,
beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, really nice.
just the yeah, just it's very simple. My approach is not
Yeah.
intellectual at all. It literally is.
Yeah.
If it looks nice, then
And one question I've got to ask is, do you think you'll do another zine of? Do you see a series of cities, or not necessarily all of the same size, but or it might be a compilation of different
be nice,
places?
wouldn't it? If there was a, I mean, I'd probably do them for myself. And if there was a want or a if people said they were interested, I have got so like I say, I used to shoot Fuji. I have got some nice, I've got enough nice images to do a London Fuji book, and I've got half a London Sony book. So, not that I've been looking, and they're very different, but they follow the same style. So, maybe, yeah, I wouldn't
But
want to be.
the benefit of a lot of the online publishing companies like of Mixam, Ulofprint, XYZ, the benefit for them is that you can print such small print runs. That's the thing. So it doesn't need to be a 100, 200 copies. You can
No.
do 20, 30 copies, from that point of view, of something that's maybe a bit more out there. But I can see there being interest for London work in particular, which is very well known.
Yeah, I mean, I my day job, I'm in sales, and I hate selling my photography work. I think with the Tokyo Zine, I put one tweet. We still call them tweets, don't we? We don't,
Yeah, I call them tweets,
does
not in
anybody call it X?
who knows? I think if people refer to it as X, formerly Twitter,
Okay.
just call it Twitter.
So I did one post on Facebook, one post on Twitter, and one post on Instagram, and that was it. It was obviously then, thanks to everybody that reposted me, and it developed a little bit of momentum. And then people started to receive the book and said, I've got the book and I really like it. And then I had another bulk of orders come through. But I don't want to be one of these pushy,
Yeah,
this is
absolutely.
this quarter's
Yeah.
money-making program that I've got. So I might do one towards the end of the year. It might be I might do a
Yeah.
London one.
Yeah, and I think it'd be fascinating to see, even not necessarily in printed form, but just to see your kind of approach in different cities. As you say, Chicago's a fascinating city, really quite interesting, very different from New York as well. As you say, a lot on set, not necessarily quite as safe as it is to walk around the streets of Tokyo. But again, I think they all bring a kind of a different feel to the cities as well. From London, I think that's kind of partly what really interests me with street photography. It's not a subject matter that I shoot myself, but I really enjoy looking at others' work
Yeah, people are
when it's been well
fascinating.
done.
Yeah, people are fascinating. I think when we came out of lockdown, that's when it really kicked in for me that, we were free again to go out and see people and humanity. And on the whole, it's good. I know we shy away from it sometimes as photographers, and we like the solitude of being on a mountain or a hill away from everybody. But at the same time, there's a
It's
lot of
it. It's the interest in the individuals, the characters that you're photographing, capturing in their work environment, their personal environment, wherever it is, and you kind of wonder what's going on in their own wee world, in terms of whatever they're getting up to on a day-to-day basis. That's what I always really find quite fascinating. And then throw in with, like, particularly the Tokyo, all the restaurants and stuff like that, which, having been there, it's really fascinating to walk around all the wee street vendors in the evenings. And yeah, just end up eating a lot of food, to be perfectly honest.
You end up very hungry. But and also with street photography, not everyone is a fan. You do get your
Yep.
critics for the fact you're a creepy street photographer. I've had
What?
it all. So, and I don't expect to convert everybody. It's just this is what I like.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm doing any harm. I mean, I do talk at camera clubs and we have that chat about right to privacy. And I would never photograph anybody in their own home.
Yeah.
But as soon as you're on the street,
Yeah,
then.
that's it. And as you say, it's all about how people approach it and how people conduct themselves when they're doing it and stuff like that as well. It's and it could be the same. You could say the same for many things as well. But no, I must say, really big fan of your street, your work. And yeah, just cat. But and again, it comes also down to it's like Tokyo for me is a city that I know really well, really enjoy it. So therefore, there's an additional connection to your work that I can kind of immerse myself in. And I think that's what the so we're talking just beforehand. I think that's the beauty about the zine world these days, book small self-published format is that it's now affordable and accessible to bring out publications like that, like you've done. That don't break the bank, and you're not going to spend 50 quid for a nice hardback coffee table book, and you can kind of connect with bodies of work that you really, really like.
Yeah, that's true in this day and age when money is tight.
Yep.
I mean, I spent some money on books that I mean, you a lot of the time you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And I love my books, but £10 or whatever people are selling zines for, yeah,
That's
the
it.
magazine's not much less than that these days.
Oh, that's it. And yeah, you get something that you can really enjoy and retain. It's like magazines you'll throw out eventually once you've amassed a pile of about 50 of them that just tell you the same stuff every month, every year. Whereas the zine's beautiful, something that you can kind of come back to over and over again as well. So yeah, wonderful book, and I will keep an eye to see if you expand your series and your collection. But I'm always interested to hear what books my guests cherish in their own collection. So it'd be great if you can maybe share four or five books that are particular favourites or particular influences in your own work, Dave.
Okay, well, I've got four books that
Brilliant.
I wouldn't say that are they currently my favorite. I don't know, probably are. Two of the photographers that are alive, two are dead. So
Right.
they're all street photography
Cool.
books. I have got a vast collection of both landscape and street photography books, but I'll go with the smallest first and one of the most expensive. It's Sol Lighter, Early Color.
Oh, yeah.
And this was a book. This was a lockdown. My other half hears how much these books cost. I'll
So
be honest,
you've maybe not disclosed the fully accurate retail price of them.
it's probably the price of them when they first came out is probably what I've disclosed.
If the price is in the inside front cover that most people would normally cut away, then look, that's what the price is. The fact that it might have risen by inflation over time's neither here nor
Yeah,
there.
no, it's not, unfortunate. Anyway, this book was a revelation, shall we say. I mean, this is all taken in the 1950s,
Yep.
six mid-50s to early 60s. And Sol, bless him, wasn't a particularly well-off photographer, so a lot of the film that he was using was out of data. A lot of the cameras that he was using had light leaks. So a lot of the images are flawed, and it's that which really makes them
Right.
personal. And I love the book, and I don't know how many pages there are in this book, but if the guy was around now and he was uploading on Instagram, they're all bangers. I think the kids
Yeah.
call it. Yeah,
That the technical term these
I think
days.
that's what the kids would call them. Yeah, they're all bangers. And I just every now and then I'll have a read through, and it brings me down to earth. Because sometimes we try and make things too perfect,
Yeah.
and they don't have to be interesting. There's pictures of a guy going up ladders, and there's only his ankles showing, but there's enough there to make you look and see the shapes and
That's it. Stop,
the textures and
contemplate,
the colours.
let. Yeah, absolutely.
And these guys that were shooting film, I've got the utmost respect for them because, you don't get with street photography, you don't get the chance to step back a little bit and open the aperture a little bit, or what change the focal distance. You've got one shot, because once you've seen the shot, it's gone. So Soulwriter, that's one of my treasured books. Go for a living. Liam Wong, Tokyo.
Oh, right, Liam Wong talked. Oh, yep.
Now, this was the first book that really inspired me to go to Tokyo. It was Blade Runner. Now, his processing is a lot heavier than what I do. That's not saying it's a bad thing. It's not far off what I think with photography, you also try and get across what a place means to you. And this guy's really, his purples and his blues, his cyans, they're very vivid, but it works. And it just made me want to go and visit. It's a massive book. There's hundreds of photographs in this book. And just looking now, I can see I've been down that street. It's just making me want to go again. And it wasn't an expensive book, this one. This was, I think, an Amazon purchase. Other good bookshops I preferred. And yeah, just you can just look at, I spent 10 minutes flicking through any five pictures in here, and it will make you want to go and just kind of smell Tokyo by looking at it. It's just, yeah, Ridley Scott.
It's a, such a captivating place.
Yeah, it really is. So that was another one. And I've mentioned him already. Joshua Jackson, Joshua K. Jackson. He's done a couple of books, but the one I've picked is a book called Modern Paradox. And that, I mean, I really, Josh has done, as I say, a couple of books. And he started off with mostly in Soho, which is obviously influenced where I shoot in London. And there were some really stunning images. And he brought his first book out, and there was very few of those referred to like bangers again that had been social media like mega hits. There's very few of them in the book. And I was at first I was a little bit disappointed because those are the shots I really liked. And then I grew up a little bit, I suppose, and started to understand why the book was put together and his sequencing perhaps. And Modern Paradox takes it to the next level, and it's a lot. I'm going to keep it sealed because it's just a lovely book. I don't know what Josh shoots with these days, but is the quality of the images. I'd
Really
say
nice.
about Soulwriters being flawed,
Yes.
and that makes them personable. Well, Josh's are perfect, but they're still personable.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
I find a lot of my photography and other photographers are at that perfect, but sometimes they miss that personable thing. They seem a little bit almost like the digital art.
Yes.
And obviously, the AI thing is the elephant in the room, isn't it? So, yeah, trying to avoid that is hard. But yeah, Josh's book's fantastic. So I think it's Sleepless in Soho was his first book,
Right.
and
Cool.
yeah, Modern Paradox, thoroughly recommend that one. And then the final book I was going to talk about, and it's actually three books. There's a series of three, and again, an Asian photographer from the 1940s and 50s, Fan Ho. That's Fanho, and he was a Hong Kong photographer, and his understanding of light. So it's very stylized, but we're
Right.
talking late 1940s, so way ahead of his time. Obviously, black and white, which is something I just can't get to grips with black and white photography. I don't like anything I've ever taken in black and white. I mean, I shoot in black and white sometimes. During the day, I set my screen, my JPEGs to be black and white just because I can see contrast.
Yes.
But I'm a color fan. His black and white work, it's stunning. So I'm totally immersed in his work. And it was all darkroom techniques. So I mean, he's got a famous picture. I don't know whether you can see. Can you see that?
Just, yep,
So you can
no.
see that sharp line when
Yes.
there's a character. Right. I'm told that was added in the dark room.
Right, gee whiz.
That, yeah. So the cheat, allegedly. So yeah, I'm told that line was not there, but I don't know. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, nice work. But yeah, and very different C Street photography, or very different black and white compared to your street foot, compared to your color work. But
Yeah.
it just shows there can still be influences in terms of what someone sees black and white compared to what how someone approaches it when they're shooting color.
It's history as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I went to the Vivian Maier exhibition when it was in Milton Keynes. Was it last year or the year before? And it was as much, yes, the photographs are fantastic, but it was a history lesson of the clothing, the
Yeah.
cars, the architecture, the style, all the fashions, all the smoking, people working different jobs that don't exist anymore. Yeah, it's history. And a lot of my London images in the Fuji years, people had face masks on.
Yeah,
So
brilliant.
hopefully we don't see that again. But
Absolutely.
yeah, but again, that was a little bit of history.
Yeah.
So it's a moment in time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It always captures a moment in time, and you could go back to Tokyo in 10 years' time, go to similar sorts of streets as you were at, and you come away with a whole different body of work from those spots. But that's what kind of makes it interesting in terms of it is just people recording moments in time, parts of history.
Yeah, and they don't tend those moments don't tend to happen again. It's difficult to copy a street photography image without staging it. Yeah, I mean Tokyo's going all LED now, so all those neon lights will be changing because
I
they're
know.
trying to reduce their energy bill.
Yeah. It'll be a sad day. I'm sure there'll still be a few wee pockets of Tokyo stick to the old neon lighting.
Yeah. And I mean, since I've been back, we've had snowfall in Tokyo and Shibuya. And as soon as I saw the images with the snow, I binned my catalogue straight away. And then now we've got all the cherry blossoms are out and all those images, and it's got to go back for that.
Well, that's it. It's so seasonal, and you get such different shots throughout the year. But if there was one place you would want to go to photograph next from a street perspective, where would it be?
What, anywhere?
Yeah, if you could pick anywhere, where would
Well,
appeal to you?
I've got like almost two wish lists. One which is practical, and one which isn't so practical. I mean, on the practical front, I really want to go to Edinburgh
Right. Yep.
because there's such an old part of Edinburgh, and that would fascinate me because a lot of my London images are in modern
Yes.
parts
Yep.
of the city, so I
Yep.
think it might be a nice contrast to shoot an older
Oh,
city.
yeah.
So Edinburgh is on that list, and as I've mentioned before, Porto or Lisbon would be on that list. I mean, on the other list, quite fancy. I'll go to Tokyo again. I know I will. I don't know when.
It was never going to be a one-off trip, Ben.
Quite fancy beer now,
Right, yeah.
because it's not so popular.
Yes.
So it'd be a bit different. So like maybe Hanoi,
Yeah, yep.
something like Hanoi. I wouldn't mind that. I don't know what the customs. You have to obviously be a little bit careful with customs.
Yes.
So I don't know how people take street
Yeah.
photographers over there. I'd have to do some research before I
Yep.
threw myself into that. America. I really like snow at night.
Yep. Yeah, it's
So,
nice.
yeah, whether or not something like I don't know, a Vancouver or a Helsinki or something like that, a city
Yeah.
that gets a lot of snow, I perhaps need to Google which city gets the most snowfall in the year.
Yeah, and you really need to go somewhere that's going to be guaranteed of getting some serious snowfall as well, because otherwise you can guarantee that you'll pitch up and it'll be like
Yeah,
barren.
yeah.
You'll be walking on the normal concrete slabs.
Yeah, dry as anything. Yeah,
That's it.
miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
But
yeah, but there's so many cities. I mean, that's the nice thing with this. It's as with all genres of photography, I guess, that
yeah.
There's just so much choice.
Yeah, and they're also varied as well, which just makes it even that more interesting, and keeps it fresh and keeps it challenging.
Yeah, North Korea is not on the list.
No, not yet.
South Korea might be. But
Yeah.
yeah, because again, I think those Asian cities are so different to here.
Yes.
It's why we were so fascinated by them, I guess.
I totally agree. It's such a different culture and different way of living, and yeah, the vibrancy for what you're shooting as well, in particular. I think to go and shoot some like American traditional cities could be quite interesting. Obviously, you've got New York, Chicago, but then maybe somewhere like Washington and stuff like that as well. We Boston, you just get a very, very different feel. That's the thing. It could be very interesting.
Yeah, maybe Canada, maybe because
Yep.
that maybe up in the like say Vancouver City
Yeah,
or something like
yeah.
that.
Get snow up there anyway, at least.
Yeah, so but there's enough to go with,
Indeed.
I think. I don't think I'll get bored.
Not at all. No. On that note, Dave, it really just leaves me to say thank you very much for your time this evening. It's been a pleasure chatting to you about all things photography and Tokyo as well. And yeah, thanks very much for your time.
Not a problem.
Cheers.